broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refuses to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast. Friday, May 15th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. The goal, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. We use the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America. Man, it's all going on. The checks and balances put in place by the founders, brilliant, and the solution to our problems. We don't need revolution, but restoration of the greatest country on the earth. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic Friday. We're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Quick recap of yesterday's broadcast brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. Check it out, thepowermall.com. Do business with the good guys. We had our guest on yesterday, Mr. Vince Finelli, usaprepares.com. Senators reviving debate on fast-track trade bill. We thought they were going to shut it down. Now they're going to sell us out. Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on the ball just for you. We also talked about government corruption. We have no idea what we're actually eating, do we? Genetically modified foods, chemicals in every food, all kinds of man-made concoctions. We also talked about Rich Shebin. Yeah, he's a Montana friend of ours, wrote a book, Living Off the Grid. He was interviewed on InfoWars and Alex Jones. That's good news. We also talked about the DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency. I guess they stole his cash, his life savings. He owned a store, brought a bunch of money into the bank, cash from his cash register. They said, hey, we're not comfortable with the cash you're bringing, bro. What are you doing? They took his money. Crazy stuff. They call it structuring. Remember, you put in more money than $10,000 and you don't report to the IRS. They're thinking you're doing something wrong, huh? All right. Five big banks now expected to plead guilty to felony charges. For most of us, ladies and gentlemen, pleading guilty to a felony means you'll very likely go to jail, lose your job, and forfeit your right to vote, and more. Your right to keep and bear arms, gone. Felony, right? When five of the world's biggest banks plead guilty to an array of antitrust crimes, criminal fraud charges, what'll happen? Probably not much even of a hiccup, folks. It'll be nothing. Yeah, who are we talking about? Barclays, JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and the Royal Bank of Scotland, just to name a few. Wow. They're going to collectively pay several billion dollars, and looks like those folks are going to have to plead guilty to criminal charges. There will not be any accountability for the manipulation of foreign currencies, interest rates on the international scale, etc. Walmart plans to test unlimited shipping service. It's half of what Amazon's is. Amazon Prime, $100. But the Walmart plan, only $50. Will it be as good? Time will tell. We'll let you know. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable. We had Vincent Finelli on because he's going to be a speaker at the Patriot Expo going on in Mountain Home, Missouri. That'll be this May 30th and 31st. Who's holding the event? Mike Slack, who was on the day before. An incredible event available for you now. Hour two, our guest, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We have crossed the Rubicon. The religious conservative state of Utah, ladies and gentlemen, becomes ground zero in the culture war. Concerns raised over transgender tenants, says the Deseret News. At least three men who now identify as women recently applied to live in the female off-campus student housing. Let me say that again. Three men who identify as women tried to apply to live in off-campus female student housing. You know, where you got six girls that live in an apartment, that kind of stuff. Well, three men signed up with gender identity now on the list of, quote, protected classes in the state of Utah. And their fair housing law, if a landlord turns away transgender people, they're guilty. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, they are absolutely guilty of discrimination. Well, anyway, so these three guys signed up to live in the same bedroom with these chicks that they don't even know. In all three cases, the women and their parents freaked out, didn't want their daughters sharing a bedroom with a man they don't know. I wonder why the daughters would be like that. Come on, what a bunch of insensitives, you know? All right, they're off their rockers, ladies and gentlemen. We have crossed the Rubicon. Okay, this is not theoretical. This is, okay, it just became law last Tuesday, 2 days ago, or 3 days ago. This is crazy. My headline, we have crossed the Rubicon. The religious conservative state of Utah becomes ground zero in the culture war. It's not theoretical anymore. This really happened. There's lawsuits. Now, in another strange dichotomy situation, the World Congress of Families is going to have their convention in Salt Lake City, October 27th through the 30th. That's great news, right? Lots of good organizations support the World Congress of Families. Great organization, doing a great job. It's the first time they'll be in the United States. However, this does mark the first time that the international family-focused gathering will be in the United States, okay? But Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker issued a statement on Tuesday that says, hey, the stated goals of the World Family Organization, well, they do not reflect the values of Salt Lake City. So now the mayor's against the World Congress of Families. Crazy stuff going on everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday at LibertyRoundtable.com and live on your Roku player. Now, Kirk Crosby's with me on this Freedom Loving Friday. Welcome back, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome, sir. And Max back from the road also. He was traveling to Washington, D.C. Welcome back, sir.
Well, thanks a lot, Sam. Good to be with you on Friday.
Now, you been doing a little bit of traveling and had the chance to go on some radio and TV shows, right?
Yeah, and the most important thing was I spoke in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, at the state capitol of Pennsylvania, invited there to speak at a Second Amendment Appreciation Day. And it was sponsored by Daryl Metcalf, who has been a state rep for about 15, 17 years or so, and he's a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment. And Sam, I'm here to tell you that joining the rally were about 85 state legislators, both senators and representatives of the people of Pennsylvania. And I was pretty impressed. I don't think we would get that many in too many states along the eastern seaboard. But Pennsylvania really had a good group there. And when I told them that, they said, yeah, the only problems are Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
In other words, anytime you get the big, massive, controlled by police-appointed people and et cetera, you get these disaster violations of your gun rights. But anytime you get a little bit out in the country, hey, we have a different America going on. People absolutely care, and it's a very polarizing issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you know, this, I said the same thing there, and I had, you know, like 12 minutes to make some points that I really wanted the legislators to hear. You know, there was a lot of people there, too. There was about 500 people. And
was one of your points from My Cold Dead Fingers or what?
Well, yeah. I mean, I had that book there. I was actually allowed to have a little book signing. So that was one
right.
I had. Of course, I had The Magic of Gun Control and Are You a David? It was all there. And the point I made, and I've said on your show, it doesn't matter what our opinions are about guns. And you see, government has been reduced to that. Who has the best idea? Well, okay, then if you have a good idea about stopping violence and all we have to do is get rid of guns, then by all means, make it legislation. Hardly any legislative body in America cares about that the state constitution protects the right to keep and bear arms in every state in this union. And, of course, the federal constitution guarantees that our innate right to keep and bear arms is protected and guaranteed. No one cares about that. Most of the legislative bodies and from both sides of the aisle really don't care about that.
Wait a minute. If they don't care about the state and the federal, if they don't care about the state and the federal law, that makes them criminals, sir.
Well, yeah, it does. And it obviously makes them liars. You know, at the very least, they are liars. Because they take an oath to the Constitution, to both constitutions that guarantee the right to keep and bear arms. And even some of the liberal states have that in their constitution, you know, New York and Rhode Island and some of those others, Massachusetts. And so they don't care about the rule of law anymore. They just say, what's a good idea, and we pass it. And so I'll give you the rest when we get back.
You got it. Hang on, ladies and gentlemen. Sheriff Richard Mack, live, CSPOA.org on your radio.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is
all right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam, Kurt, Sheriff Richard Mack on your radio. We're talking about Mack's trip. He went back east and he had the chance to speak about the Second Amendment. Had the chance to articulate the reality, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know what, it doesn't matter what your opinions are on guns. There are laws in America, and we are a, at least in the past, we hope to remain so, a law-abiding nation based on the rule of law. And Richard's basically doubling down, saying, hey, you know what, these politicians don't seem to care about the rule of law anymore. And I suggest that makes them criminalistic, to say the least. They've got to care about the rule of law. That's what their oath is to. That's what makes this nation tick. And if we're going to set aside the law on one item, then two, then a few, then pretty soon, what does the rule of law even mean, Sheriff?
Well, it doesn't mean anything if you don't have the people who make laws respect that principle. And so, again, when I said that, I made that a very strong point of my entire 12 minutes up on the stage, that whether we like it or not, no matter how you feel about guns, whether you like them or hate them or, you know, you'll never own one or you're kind of in between, you're kind of on the fence with guns, you don't care if people have them, but you don't really have one, and, you know, you're not a hunter or whatever, but I'm not a hunter either, but I sure have them. But the point is, wherever you line up on the issue of gun ownership, that regardless of that, where you line up, you, Kurt, me, the people down the street, the transgenders that live in the apartment complex down in Salt Lake City now, it doesn't matter who you are or what you feel about guns. Gun control in the United States of America is against the law. And that's another thing that I said right after that. And I said, there's not a peace officer in the state of Pennsylvania, chiefs of police, sheriffs, deputies, patrol officers, there's not a one of you that has the obligation to go along with any gun control laws promulgated by this legislative body that's standing behind me at this very moment. I think that was a pretty bold statement, but it's still absolutely true. And so I told every police officer, if this body of legislators passes gun control laws, you have no obligation to enforce it. In fact,
let's be very clear, based on the rule of law, you have every demand, every evidence, constitutionally, law-abiding, and otherwise, that you need to reject those violations and stand for the right to keep and bear arms, because that's the law.
Stop it, yes. Stop it. And, you know, when I spoke later the next day in Washington, D.C. on Russia Today with Tom Hartman, I said that again. Yeah, and that law enforcement need to be trained, retrained. And that is one of the aspects that we have absolutely got to retrain our nation's police. If we're going to have a serious conversation about why our police in this country continue to abuse and commit the heinous act of police brutality, then we've got to address the subject of retraining and the curriculum of academies, training across this country has got to change. And it's got to turn a 180 degrees. Because all we do is train cops. When it comes to dealing with the public, we train them. We train them a little bit to be respectful of people, you know, blah, blah, blah. But mostly they're trained with this quote, you go home at night. No matter what happens out there, you go home at night. And I think that has created a brainwashing of I can do anything as long as I go home at night. And police safety tactics have been misdirected, and there is not one shred of evidence that police are actually trained to back off a situation. Don't make a situation worse because of what you do. And seriously, Sam, that our police are trained when they get to a hot situation to back off. You back up. You know, we see all the videos of the police marching forward with all their riot gear and their shields and their helmets and their batons and their guns. They're going to march forward no matter what. Come hell or high water, they're going to just keep marching forward. And what happens if we simply back away from a crowd and, maybe take a more strategic approach to, hey, let's start getting, let's sneak in on some of these looters and start arresting them instead of making this big show of force down the street. I'm not saying that that can't help. I'm saying that we need to analyze when it's a good time to back away from a volatile situation.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's not because of being it's not because of being scared. It's not because of lack of training. It's not because or a debate about who has authority. What it is it's the better part of valor. What we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen, is wise engagement, wise de-escalation of an event to see another day and find a better solution. And the example I'm going to point to is Ruby Ridge as the one of the most poignant examples of all. Hey, the thugs hired Lon Horiuchi, sharpshooter sniper for the government, who murdered Vicky Weaver with a baby in her arms. She was unarmed. Okay? And then good people decided to try to help Randy, and lo and behold, we found a negotiated situation that saved lives. And that was from backing off. That was from negotiations, not arming ourselves to the teeth and pointing guns at civilians, etc. Okay, isn't that one of the best examples we can point to?
It's certainly one of the best. It really is. And another one would have been Kent State University. I think it was 1970 or 71 when they sent in the National Guard to go after students who were protesting the Vietnam War on the campus. And instead of backing up and backing away from a kind of stupid situation and where kids were getting out of control, there's no question about that. There were some reports that they had started a fire here and there. And perhaps the National Guard was necessary. I still don't believe it for the most part that it was, because there wasn't any major violence going on. There was no real threat to the lives of officers or anything like that. But a couple of small fires, I think, were set. So, yeah, there needed to be some control. But to start taking target practice on the bodies, on the live bodies of human beings, of students who were all unarmed, and they knew it, that there were none of them that were armed. I mean, or at least there was no sign that anybody was armed. It was really ridiculous. And then afterwards, when seven or eight students are lying dead and more wounded at the hands of National Guard and government officials, no one went to jail, no one was tried, no one was prosecuted, and there's dead people all over. And here again, just like in Waco and Ruby Ridge, though, nobody is prosecuted. No one is held accountable. If you're from government, the message is loud and clear. You can get away with murder. And there is no question that Ruby Ridge was a very stark example of all of this, and it epitomizes exactly what we're talking about. Learn when to back away, swallow your pride, and do what's best to make sure you don't make a situation worse.
And clearly decide to be a peace officer, not a law enforcement thug. Sheriff Richard Mack, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, he took a road trip and stood in defense of your Second Amendment rights. You got to dig it. Back in seconds, CSPOA.org on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. Well, I stopped to do some walking. I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill, and I feel great.
I had 3 bypasses 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it could have went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, this half hour of Liberty Roundtable Live is brought to you in part by GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When you want a win-win-win situation for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. We're talking to Sheriff Richard Mack, CSPOA.org. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Opinions on guns are simply not relevant. Richard takes a road trip and speaks in defense of the Second Amendment. I got a couple of topics that we need to move to here. We'll tell you where Richard's going next to. Get your pen and pencil ready, so your pen and paper ready, so you're ready to appear there and shake his hand and look him in the eye and say, thank you, sir, for your hard work. Richard, a headline says this: House approves a revised measure ending most abortions after 20 weeks. The measure passed in a 242 to 184 vote with one member voting present. What do you think? They voted to restrict abortions. It may not be enough, but it's a start, sir.
Well, it certainly sounds good, and it is a good start. In a country based on a principle of protecting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it's so astonishing that we have a process now that kills babies right when they're born or right before they're born. And I just can't believe that we have come to such a calloused, beyond feeling, human degradation of life. And that you would think that we as Americans and as, I thought, supposed Christians, that if we were to err anywhere near such a thing, that we would err on the side of protecting life, not on finding ways to destroy it.
Well, and now the pro-death folks who disguise their murder as pro-choice, ladies and gentlemen, they're now talking about what are called post-birth abortions. You know about those, right? Until a kid's like, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5, you could just decide that, you know what, this kid's more trouble than he or she is worth, and we're going to do a post-birth abortion. They're pushing for that to be legal now, sir.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
you look it up, you'll see it's called post-birth abortion. These absolutely murdering thugs are crazy. They're crazy.
They are, and they have been, and that we haven't awakened as Christians in this country to stop this. It is still astonishing to me. It really is just astonishing.
Yeah, it's true. If the Christian bloc in general were to stand up in mass and demand it, and yes. peacefully insist it would change in a day. It literally would.
Yeah.
But that would only be if we had guts. Anyway, our prayers are with them. It's most likely to be shut down in the Senate. And you could say, well, it's only a symbolic vote at this point, Sam. My response is maybe true, but at least somebody's doing something. That's where it all starts if you want change. We just need more people doing more things, that's all. All right, the House also votes to restrict what they call phone sweeps. They call it a bipartisan bill. Passed 338-88. And I guess they say that's going to restrict the gathering of your phone records, but that'll restrict it somewhat from government of the Patriot Act, but it won't really restrict it from the private sector who's already gathering this information. Again, not near enough, Sheriff.
It's not going to stop anything. They're not going to stop. The government has been taking over this for a long time. Before there was any Patriot Act, they were already starting to do this without permission for a long time. Time magazine had an article back in March of 1994 how the federal government wanted the power to tap into every phone, fax, and computer transmission, and that they need this to protect us from drug dealers and terrorists and spies and all the other baloney that they use for an excuse. And, you know, you noticed in that excuse-making thing was to protect us from drug dealers. And the drug war has been used as an excuse to create more power for our police so they can protect us and protect our children and to keep drugs out of high schools and away from our children. And it's actually, if you really analyze that situation, it's actually made it worse. And the war on drugs and the laws of prohibition have actually created a black market that has been so fruitful and so prolific and so powerful that they can't stop it now, even if they wanted to.
Yeah, it all comes down to money, folks. And as long as they can print fake money, there's no limit to the abuse that can run amok with that, that's for sure. Hey, do you know who the Speaker of the House for Missouri is, Sheriff?
No, I don't think so.
All right, his name is John Deal. Do you know about this, Kurt?
Well, it sounds like it might be a big deal. I
hear that. Oh, yeah. John Deal, I guess he pulled a Clinton, is what he did. And I guess he was at Dateline Jefferson City, Missouri.
Yeah, he resigned recently.
Yeah, he had to resign one day after the revelation that he had sexually suggestive texting going on. I think they call that sexting. And he had sexting going on with a college intern. He didn't mean to exchange sex with the 19-year-old legislative intern, but, well, it was what you call innuendo-laden chats. And anyway, he had to resign. He said, the problem with people are they don't take responsibility for their actions. I was wrong, and I'm taking responsibility, and I'm stepping down so that it doesn't negatively affect the Republican Party. I made a serious error in judgment by sending the sexts, and I'm sorry. And there you have it. The current legislative session ends this week. And the fear is that the Republican agenda might be jeopardized by his scandal. Now, just so you know, he's married. He's got three sons, and he's a partner at a law firm. Anyway, unlike some people, this is not my entire life. And anyway, there you have it, Sheriff.
Whoa. Well, it amazes me that this whole problem is reduced to how it affects the Republican Party. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Like the Republican Party really matters that much in this situation.
How about we worry about how it affects the American people and how it affects legislation to protect and preserve our Constitution and personal freedoms? And
well, I agree. But more importantly, though, I don't hear anything about his wife and his children and stuff. What about his family? I mean, I appreciate the public concerns about it, and I agree, but all I'm telling you is, what about the people that matter most in his life? What about the most important, in my humble opinion, sacred commitments that he's made to God, to his wife, to his children by having them in the first place, etc.? What about those sacred agreements, if you will?
Well, of course, and that probably should have been the first thing he said out of his mouth in apologizing, and we worry about the Republican Party when his family was just humiliated and had their faith in him destroyed. I mean, yeah. So, I think, as somebody said this once, it was very close to the Nixon administration, and they said they were in meetings, and his concern about all the problems he was facing was, how does this affect the Republican Party? And that's kind of why it hit me the same way, you know, that's what you're worried about? You know, how it affects the party? And we're so bass-ackwards in this country now, and it's just a shame that we have lost our moral compass the way we have. And it's pretty accepted as routine now. And, I guess our police aren't the only one we need to retrain.
I hear that. All right, let's talk about police officers a little bit more. The headline from the the Associated Press, New York Times, and other old-style media rags says this: no NYPD uniforms, but big role for clothed officer. So you got plain clothes officers, and they don't have uniforms, and they say this is the solution today. You get a big role for the plain clothed officers. What do you think of this? Officers basically having unmarked cars, plain clothes, running around in society with a, quote, bigger and bigger role to play, Sheriff.
Well, all of our nation's police departments and sheriff's offices have plain clothes officers. We always have. I mean, detectives do not wear uniforms. And there's a large contingency of detectives. You know, I was a detective at Provo PD. You wear a sports coat and sports shirt and a tie, and that's your uniform. And we drive around in unmarked cars. But we're not generally the ones running traffic enforcement either, you know. So, I'm 50-50 on that. It just depends on how they're used and what they're doing with them. They certainly have a viable part of law enforcement. If you're going to take all of them and make them that way, then no. A police presence needs to be there that people see. And sometimes we would even park police vehicles that are just sitting at the police station. We'd park them in strategic locations where traffic accidents occur too much, because we know when people see a police car, they slow down. They start behaving better.
All right, quick pause. What do you think about police officers not wearing their uniforms, but wearing just plain everyday clothes, hanging out with you on the subway, running around spying? And is it okay? Well, we'll talk about it. Sheriff Mack with us. Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds. Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
No New York Police Department blue uniforms, just plain clothes. Ladies and gentlemen, are y'all cool with that for the cops? They expect the cops to play a bigger role. Police officials will not say exactly how many of the department's roughly 20,000 police officers in the patrol force are wearing plain street clothes right now, but they suspect it's in the hundreds. Here's the problem. You might be fine with officers undercover, if you will. You may say it's necessary. You may say what you want. Here's the rub. It isn't so much what they're wearing or what equipment they have. It's how they're using it that is becoming militarized. It's how they're going about it that's crossing the line, in my humble opinion. Okay, here's the deal. Police officials won't say how many are in plain clothes or going undercover, but the plain clothes officers are expected to catch criminals in the act, listen, or even before they act. Let me say that again. They're expected to catch criminals in the act or before they even act. Sheriff?
Well, the thought police, huh? They're going
to... Well, that's the problem. See, what they're hoping to do is focus on a very narrow, small part of the population that are criminals and that have repeat offenses. And I get that. Okay, I don't have a problem with that per se, except for when you start to say I'm going to stop someone before they act. When you start to create a profile that really starts to dig into somebody's every detail. At what point do you say they've crossed the line and they violated somebody's rights? And that's always what we need to keep front and center, isn't it? Somebody's rights?
Yeah, I mean, if somebody stands up on a subway and starts moving towards an old lady, is he about ready to attack her, steal her purse, sexually assault her, or is he going over to help her with something, or is he going over to say hello? I mean, how would you know on something like that? That's just stupid. I'm sorry. For you to say that you're going to stop somebody before they act, that's just stupid.
Okay, and that's kind of the problem that I have here is where's the line and what are we becoming? Instead of being a defensive force based on the rule of law, based on peace, based on the protection of people's life, liberty, and property, based on God-given unalienable rights, based on rights balanced with responsibility, based on being a peace officer and a goal to de-escalate situations, etc. Now, at some point, you become precursor provocateur. You become intentional precursor agitator. At some point, you change the whole parameters of what protecting people is all about. Because protecting who from who when, right?
Well, the main thing that we were taught, too, is how are you going to prove this before a jury? What are you going to do, arrest a guy because of what he was going to do? And then how are you going to prove that before a jury or even a judge? It's just ridiculous. This is just ridiculous. And New York would be also just as ridiculous to not have uniformed officers around Times Square where people who need help can look at a uniform and say, hey, I just saw a problem over there, or I just had a guy attack me over here, or how do you know where to go? You just call 911 on your cell? What if you don't have a cell? What if your cell isn't working? What You know, what if you...
Well, and I'm okay with police officers or trained people to be in plain clothes and not armed and keep an eye on things. Okay, I'm okay with that. But when the lines get crossed or when I get very concerned, and I'll give you this example. Let's say that you are an officer in plain clothes. And let's say you think that I'm about to do something. Whether you're right or wrong, you know what? You're wrong until it's done, okay? Now, at what point then, if you reveal that you're a cop, do I have to believe you? Because now we're starting to have people around the nation pretend they're cops, break into homes, rape women, steal things, abuse people, force people to do things, and they're not really cops at all. They're just saying they're a plain, clothes
police
officer.
That could happen in uniform, too, and has. But the problem is this. If you really want to stop somebody before they do something, then you need to put a uniformed officer there because people don't do it in front of uniformed officers. You know, very rarely.
But that's what I'm saying, though. At some point, if you put a guy in plain clothes there, and then you're going to watch something go down that you know is a crime, and you don't have a police officer there to hopefully prevent it from the get-go, like you're wisely pointing out, at some point you play aide and provocateur almost, don't you?
Well, you certainly can, and, you know, I get undercover operations, but on a day-to-day basis, when you're having patrol officers and you're trying to literally prevent crime and do preventive crime patrols and community patrols, and even to reduce crime on subways and heavily populated areas like Times Square. No, a uniformed officer and a marked car in a well-placed strategic location is the best deterrent you could probably ever come up with.
Where undercover works best is when you, and I'm not a cop, so I'm just laying this out, Sheriff, agree or disagree as you will. It works best when you kind of know the parameters, know the situation, and you need to gain more knowledge and information about the inner workings of something. And then your goal, obviously, is to stop it or to change the game or to whistleblow. That's when you're best undercover, when you kind of have some known parameters and known situations that you need more intel on. Isn't that right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Not this random, we're undercover everywhere all the time stuff.
No, no way.
And not this idea that, golly, we're going to try and stop a crime before it happens idea. Why don't we do our best to make it not happen in the first place? Then we don't need to stop it before it happens, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, our whole goal is to prevent crime, to reduce crime, to detect crime, of course, before a potential victim is totally victimized. But to sit there and say that I watched this and he was about ready to attack this lady, so I arrested him before he did it. That's just not going to fly in court. And if it does, then
we're in real trouble.
Bigger trouble than we were before we started all.
But the next question is, you say that our goal is to deter crime and to create peace and stability and safety and all those things. I agree with you, but do you think that's their goal? With the way they're going about it, what they do is they let repeat criminals go over and over and over and over, as Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. wisely points out, and that's got to stop, this repeat criminal activity. We only spend our time to arrest and to get it all done only for them just to let them out on the streets again. I don't think this is their goal. They got a different goal.
Well, recidivism is the problem with crime in America. And in case everybody doesn't know that big word, that's a big police word. Recidivism is the repeat offender. And that is the problem in America. And that is the problem with courts. And that is the problem with the justice system. And then, so what are they trying to do with this? Say, well, we're going to just stop all this before it gets to court. And, you know, I don't get what they're really trying to say in doing this. And I don't think it's been very well thought out. It sounds like some de Blasio has kind of...
Or it sounds like an intentional effort to somehow destroy accountability, destroy appropriate relationship between the government and the people with a real goal of destroying societal norms and eventually creating pandemonium for a greater takeover purpose is what it sounds like to me.
Well, perhaps.
Whether that's the goal or not, that's going to be the result if they don't change their attitudes.
Yeah, and you know, this is what they come up with pursuant to all the police brutality going on in New York and across the country. This is what they come up with. Again, they don't address the key issues of fundamental training, but they will address, you know, and try again to flounder in policy changes such as uniform apparel. And it reiterates the problem I think we have with law enforcement leadership all across the country.
All right. Where's the good sheriff going next?
Well, I'm actually going to be around Arizona the next few weeks and headed towards our 40th anniversary celebration here real soon. My wife and I have been married 40 years. Next Wednesday is our
well, congratulations.
40th anniversary.
That's tremendous news.
Yeah, so we're going to spend some time with each other and celebrating that and hopefully spending some time with our grandkids and kids. And I'm getting ready for my new job.
Your new job as a history teacher, huh?
As a history teacher at Heritage Academy.
You're going to teach people that we have the right to keep and bear arms because God said so?
I don't know if I'll say it because God said so, but I probably will.
There you go. All I'm saying is our rights to keep and bear arms and the rights of self-defense. See, that's the problem. If you have a guy in plain clothes running around saying he's a cop and he's maybe fondling a girl that's near you or something, at some point you might want to disagree, and maybe he really is a cop, but yet he might be doing something wrong. And at what point do you have criminal cops running around in plain clothes? That's kind of another big problem that we've got going on. You can't trust us anymore.
I think I'll ask the scholars. The students are called scholars at that school.
Yes, sir.
I think I'll ask them, where did I write come from? And have them, you know, write that book about it. You know, I actually plan to have the kids, each one assigned a topic and a subject, and write a chapter about it for a book that will be written by the kids of Heritage Academy.
That's going to be phenomenal. By the way, I just want to say.
Sorry. The scholars.
Oh, the scholars. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I also want to kind of point out, when it comes to our rights to keep and bear arms and opinions and thoughts and cops and all these things, ladies and gentlemen, when the people learn to govern themselves based on moral Judeo-Christian values, we don't have societal problems like we have now. When the kids are raised on sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and God's shoved to the back corners, we have trouble. It's clear as the nose on your face. Therefore, the solution is just as clear. Final 10 seconds are yours, Sheriff.
Well, thanks so much for having me on again. I'm sorry I missed yesterday, and really appreciate your show and your friendship, and kudos to Joyce Riley today.
Amen to that. Godspeed, sir. Thank you. All right, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Scott Bradley coming up on your radio. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. You want to turn your phone into radio, smile and dial 712-432-5339. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can restore America. We need your help. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.